This is an interview. This is an interview for the Subiaco Historical Society by Donna Moore of 7 Evans Street, Shenton Park. The interview was conducted on the 16th of March 1984 with Mrs. Jean Howell Nylander of Unit 12, 370 Barker Road, Subiaco. Mrs. Howell is one of four sisters, all of whom have been interviewed for the Subiaco Historical Society. They came to live in Subiaco in 1914. This is side A, tape one of one tape.
At present, or when I was born.
When you were born.
Well, I'm Jean Lander, L-I-N-D-E-R.
And when were you born, Mrs?
22nd of July, 1900.
And where were you born?
Kalgoorlie.
And when did you come to Subiaco?
Well, we came just as when the war broke, first war broke out. Previously to that, we'd been down in a timber mill in Cottesloe and places like that.
You lived in Cottesloe for a while?
For 1 year. I went to school there for a year, and that practically was my last education, because down on the timber mill they had a very small school, a one-room school, with everybody, you know, taking a few hours of a teacher's time, or a few minutes here and there. We didn't go much further in advanced education then.
So how old were you when you left school?
I left at 14.
So you came to Subiaco in about 1914?
Yes.
Can you remember much about Kalgoorlie?
Well, not a great deal. I remember going to school and we had to walk there, going through Commonwealth Park, where the kids all used to play cricket. I believe since then it's been made into a proper garden and swimming pool and so forth. But I haven't been up there since.
You've never been back?
Well, I went when I was 21 for 1 month, but I don't remember much of the place.
Did they have the pipeline through when you were there?
I'm not sure. Oh no, I can't remember that. I was 11 when I left and I can't remember that kind of thing.
And from Kalgoorlie, where did you go?
We went down to Cottesloe then for 1 year. And then we went down onto a timber mill.
And from the timber mill, you came to Subiaco?
To Subiaco, yes. Well, as soon as the war broke out down on the timber mill, all the men were paid off immediately at the end of that week. They weren't given any notice, and everybody in the mill had to pack up and leave. So it was a bit tough. We went, Mum took a shop down in Hay Street with a dwelling attached, and I had to do the cooking while Mum minded the shop. And my father went and looked for a job, and he went all the way up to Halls Creek. But he was an invalid, and that is why we left Kalgoorlie. So you see, from then on, I had a sick father, and we all had to do our little bit. Mostly I stayed home while the others went to town. When we came to Subiaco, the others all went to town school and I didn't, so that they learned more about what was going on around them than I did.
You must have some memories of Subiaco when you first arrived, though.
Oh yes, we all went to Sunday school, our good little girls. And we used to sometimes went to night school, but I didn't go a great deal because I had to work hard and I wasn't, you know, quite very strong. And then I went to work in a tea room, and those were fairly rough days, according, you know, when compared with the present time. But my sisters were all much younger than me, and they went to town school, and they learnt more of the metropolitan area than I did.
Where was the tea rooms that you worked in?
Well, there was a big firm called Albany Bells. They've disappeared a long time since. They had 8 shops, and they had a bakehouse, or whatever they called it, at Maylands. It was turned into the blinds, taken over by the blind school later on. And it was, you know, all, everything was done by hand in the tea rooms. You broke up your own ice and you boiled your own water in copper urns and all sorts of things. Much different to now.
So did you do everything in the tea rooms, or were you just a waitress, or?
Well, believe it or not, I started work as a skivvy. The first job I had to do was 7 o'clock in the morning, and that was to scrub outside the front door in an area they had their big name spread across the front door in marble, and that had to be scrubbed clean every morning. And I was on my knees in Hay Street, opposite where David Jones is now. I used to feel a bit embarrassed to see all the other people all going off to work, and me down on my knees with a scrubbing brush, but still we lived through it. Then we used to, as the time went on, we used to have a little rise every so often, and you became a waitress, and that was a great thing. And if you kept on going, you worked in the shop at the front.
What was the shop?
Albany Bells, still. It was a big tea rooms, and they had a shop, cake shop, selling sweets and cakes in the shop, the front.
And did you ever get to work in the shop?
Yes, but my shop was a small shop over in William Street. I used to have to walk over the William Street Bridge, and we did all sorts of things there, including scalding the milk at night. And one morning we forgot to turn the gas off underneath. And when we got there, here was this basin of scalded black mess, and the odour was terrible. We opened every door and window we could, but that was the day the manager decided to call over in the morning. So he came in the shop. "Oh," he said, "open the doors, open the windows," and he's waving his arms around. It was terrible for a while, but of course we got over there.
Lucky there wasn't a fire, I imagine.
Yes, that's right.
So how old were you when you went to work in the tea rooms?
Well, I was about 16. You see, for the first couple of years, Mum had to earn her rent in this shop we went to. And Dad sent down a little bit of money from Halls Creek, but it wasn't a great deal because he had to pay board where he lived up there. Then after that, we bought a little shop, a little house, right up the top of this road. And we lived there ever since, until 2 years ago.
Until when? 2 years ago?
Yes.
You lived there?
Yes. Well, not in exactly in the same house, but the houses were next door to each other. The one Mum was brought up in and the other one were bought out by the builders just recently.
What street was that?
Rafel Street.
What numbers were the houses?
15 and 17.
And which one did you live in?
We lived in 17 all those years, but I married halfway through and lived next door to Mum. I was then able to keep an eye on her, and as she was growing older.
So she was in 17?
Yes.
And you were in 15?
Yes. And I believe the number 15 was laid down, or first built, in 1895. You know, the boys would come around and measure all the blocks up. I said so one day when I asked him. And it was a wooden house. So when we moved not long ago, it was just about ready to go. So we came down here.
It's not very far to move, is it?
No.
Can you think back to when you first arrived in Subiaco in 1914 and tell me what your first impressions were?
Well, I felt very strange riding on the trams. They had trams in those days, and the one that I remember most had the window right down to the bottom of the seat. And here I felt very queer riding in that tram, because it almost felt as though you were riding along the street in public, because the window was so low. But you see, I didn't go to school in town. I was staying home most of the time, and the other girls went to James Street School, and one or two went to Subi School until they got old enough to go further afield.
Did you get involved in sort of things happening locally? Did you go to the movies or
well, parties? Occasionally we went down to the West Pictures, which was situated in Hay Street, down there where that toy shop is now, I think it was. We used to go down to the matinee on Saturday afternoon, but we didn't go out a great deal because we were a bit hard up. We didn't go very far. Occasionally we used to go on a boat trip, a river boat trip in the evening. Went all the way up to Fremantle and back.
Where did you get on the boat?
Down in Perth, and down the Esplanade there. Right up. Sometimes the boat would go out in the sea and turn around and come back again.
And who used to organise the boat trips?
Well, it was, I don't know, it was run every Saturday night, I think. By somebody, you know, the people who were who owned the boat.
And what, did they have music on board?
Yes, a bit of music. But everybody thought it was fun. You see, there weren't the nightclubs around that there are now. The place seems to be full of nightclubs these days. But I remember somebody saying once that she'd been to the first nightclub that was opened in Perth. When I was about 20 or something, you know, later on.
And what was that? Which nightclub?
I don't know. See, I wasn't going, and I didn't take much notice. And also, she was the boss. She wasn't one of us. I mean, she wasn't a fellow worker. She was just the boss. So where she went wasn't our business.
What else do you remember about Subi?
Well, the gardens just at the top here, where the Civic Centre is, that was plain bush then, and there used to be a few swings for children to swing on, otherwise you just played around among the bushes. Of course, I didn't play around by that time because I was too old.
Were there lots of houses in Subi?
Well, I don't know that I took all that amount of notice, but there were streets, and I mean, there were quite a number. I mean, it was growing into quite a town, but the post office wasn't where it is. I believe that post office was up where the library is now, on the corner up there.
Do you remember much about the houses in the area at that time?
No, not a great deal. We didn't go out to very many parties, I think. We just went to the church socials and that type of thing.
So you got to know a few people in the area?
Yes, there were a few people there, but I don't know that they're there now. There are a few people. My sisters went up to the United Church recently and met a few of the old people from the Congregational Church that was pulled down, the one we went to.
So, what? When the church was pulled down, did you not go on to another church, or what?
No, I didn't go very much then. I I had left going to Sunday school. I think my sister, Mrs. Wince, kept on going to Sunday school as a teacher for longer than the rest of us.
And have you lived in Subiaco all this time?
Well, yes, except for once or twice when I took a job in the country, you know, during the years, and then stayed for a few months and came back again.
Can you tell me then, you worked at the tea rooms, Albany Bell Tea Rooms, and then where did you go?
Well, I married early. Well, I left to get married, you see. Oh, no, wait a minute. I had left before then, and I went down to Beverly. At that time, there were no dining cars on the Kalgoorlie train, and they used to have dining stops at the stations. There was a dining room at the Beverly station. They used to ring the bell as soon as the train stopped, and everybody would hop off and take refreshments. And I worked down there for a while on the Beverly station, but I didn't stay too long. Things didn't work out quite well, and I came back again. And I did take a job down at near Brookton for a little while. One of my sisters, I think you've interviewed her already, Mrs. Broom. Well, she was a teacher down at near Brookton, and she stayed at a farm, and I went to the farm to work down there with her. I was just in the house, doing the housework while she went to school every day. I was there for a while. I forget how long I was there, you know, time goes and you just forget. Often she thinks of things that have happened here and there, and I've forgotten them.
So when did you get married?
Well, I was married first when I was about 25, and that didn't last very long. So I didn't marry again until I was about 40 odd.
What happened to the first marriage? Did you divorce?
Oh, well, it's a story.
It's just that it's probably a bit unusual then to...
Oh, yes, yes.
So after that marriage, you presumably kept working?
Yeah. Yes, I did it for a while. That's when I went to different places. It was after that, I think, that I went to the tea rooms. That is, I went back again, probably. The time has gone and I've forgotten a lot of things. If you're working around here and there, you just forget just where you went.
So, when were you living in Subiaco? Most of this time, or...?
Well, most of the time, generally speaking. I did do a bit of home dressmaking up at the top there in Maple Street and let a room or two for a while.
Were you involved in any of the local clubs or organisations in Subiaco?
Well, no. That's why I think I can't tell you very much about Subiaco. Because, you see, I was rather a quiet type and I wasn't very social. I didn't go out very much.
But you knew people in Subiaco?
Well, a few, yes. I can't tell you quite a long story about Subiaco because I didn't go out very much. And my mother was ill for quite a long time and I looked after her. And then again, by this time, my father's health was worse and he had to be minded quite a lot. He got dust in his lungs up in Kalgoorlie, and that sort of illness takes a long time.
Can you remember how the depression affected you and your family?
Oh yes, well, it was pretty tight. That reminds me of another place I worked at. I worked in, what's the name of the place? There's a short street up there near town. We turn around, the bus turns around the corner and goes down, or it used to, and the name of the street has eluded me, but there was a boarding house up there, rather a better class boarding house, and I worked there for quite a long time. But talking about the Depression, some of the lads who were out of work used to come to the back door and ask for food, and we used to give them sandwiches and things like that at the back door. I remember that, doing that.
So you were living in Subi during the Depression?
Yes.
And were you working?
Well, I was working there at that boarding house for a while, and I can't remember much else.
So you didn't sort of lose your job during the Depression or anything?
No, not on account of the Depression, but you see the wages weren't very good. I went through the time when I was working in the tea rooms where somebody began to work to form a working union for the waitresses. And she did a lot of talking out in the street and got into trouble here and there for having too much to say. But she began, and when they began talking loudly about unions, our boss thought he'd better join in a little bit before he got into trouble. So he raised our wages for at 1 shilling a week for a while.
So what were you earning altogether?
Well, at that time we were earning about 14 shillings a week.
And who was the lady who got involved in the union movement?
Now you've asked me again. I remember quite well that at one time we wore the same colour jumpers and hats walking along the street, and people used to take me for her once or twice in the street, but I can't remember her name. It's gone.
What about the war years?
Well, they were fairly tough. That's when I was working in the little shop down in Hay Street with Mum minding the shop.
That was the First War, was it?
Yes. Mm. Well, the shop didn't do much except pay the rent. And we were fairly hard up, you see. That was when my father went up to Halls Creek, and he didn't have a lot of money to send down because he had to keep himself and pay the boarding house. And we managed somehow or other. My mother also, while she was in the shop, did dressmaking to help out. We also let a room upstairs. It was a two-story place, and there was a large room upstairs which we could let, so we did that.
What about the part of the shop that you lived in? Did you have sort of bathroom and well-equipped kitchen and those sorts of things?
Well, yes, that wasn't too bad. It was one of those buildings which had high ceilings. These days they lower all the ceilings. They've had plenty of air, and the rounds room had two large windows reaching up to the top of the ceiling and nearly down to the floor. You know, plenty of light in that particular room. And the bathroom area was okay, and the kitchen all right. I can't remember what it was like much, but I know I had to cook the dinner.
And what sort of things did you sell in the shop?
Well, there was a stationery and a small counter with groceries, the kind of odd groceries that people pop in when they run out of things. Tea and a pound of sugar and candles. Quite a number of candles were used in those days.
Was there no electricity in Subiaco then?
I don't know about being no... I can't remember about being none, but we had lamps and candles, I know.
Do you remember the brands of the things you used to sell?
No. I didn't handle them very much, you see. I wasn't in the shop, and I can't remember. I remember one man living in Subiaco who earned his living by importing cases of tea from somewhere, and he packaged them, and his sales were made by calling at different houses and shops, like the Avon lady used to go around.
You don't remember what brand he sold or his name?
His name was Jones, but I can't remember the name of the tea, but which I should do, but I don't.
Well, it's a long time ago.
Yes. You see, there are so many things which you don't always need to remember.
That's right.
Quite often you forget the things you do need to remember too.
Do you remember in those days in Subiaco if there were many people of different nationalities or Aboriginal people living there?
No, I don't remember a number of those. There were quite a number of Greek people coming along, I think, but I don't remember too many others. A bit later on, there was a Chinese family had a greengrocer's shop down the other end of Hay Street, nearer to Perth, but I don't remember many others, although I did hear of Chinese market gardens around the place. There were quite a number of those, I think.
So they actually grew their vegetables around Subiaco somewhere?
That's right. Well, not exactly perhaps in Subiaco, but just on the outskirts and around. They've been done away with long since and made into towns, of course.
How did you sort of keep your food fresh in those days?
Oh, well, there was the old Coolgardie cooler. Have you come across that sort of, you've heard of it, haven't you? Yes. Made of canvas with pieces of flannel hanging outside with the water dripping down.
I've always been interested in how people actually kept them moist.
Yes. Well, on top of the cooler there was an iron tray, a galvanised iron tray, and you had to keep on filling that with water. And then pieces of material hanging out of the water and against the canvas of the cooler and keep the cooler damp.
You'd have to keep filling it fairly regularly.
Yes. And it would have to stand in a tray as well for the drips to go down.
So did it mean you had to sort of shop fairly regularly for perishable goods?
Well, you would have to, yes.
Did you sell those sorts of goods in the shop?
Well, I'm not quite sure of the butter. I'm not quite sure. There was more, quite
fruit
a number.
Fruit and veggies there?
Not fruit and veggies. Because, you see, they would have to be bought and we didn't have anybody to go marketing.
So when did you move from the shop?
In about 1916. So since 1916, I've been here. At the top of that street down to the bottom of this one.
Long time.
Yes, it is a long time.
And do you remember much about the Second World War years?
Well, we lived through it and I don't remember a great deal because our family were mostly women. I didn't have any of our cousins or uncles didn't live in Sevilla, didn't live in WA even. They all lived over in South Australia. I remember one uncle passing through and much, much later there was a male cousin, but otherwise we didn't see much of them. So that we didn't have any of them going off to war, except my uncle who went through.
Did they have soldiers marching through Subiaco?
Well, I don't know about during the war, but after the war they used to have what they still have, a little march on Anzac Day. And of course after the war they built the clock up there as a monument. They all used to march up there, but they still do.
Can you tell me how you can remember any sort of particular events that you celebrated in your family, or like birthdays or Christmas?
Oh, well, we didn't make a great deal of it. Not having relatives here in the West, we had our own Christmas dinners and we used to make a fuss of that. We used to all have our presents at Christmas dinner and open all the parcels around the table before we had dinner, just to make a little bit of fun of it. But we didn't go in for entertaining very much. We except we had a big party when my mother was 100 years old, and that was only 11 years ago. We had a big party in a hall there, Kings Park Road way, and mother not being very well, the doctor said he intended to come to the party to keep an eye on her, but she did. I've got a couple of little photographs of Mum here and the rest of us, but they're more recent, they're not the old.
Yes, tell me about your brother.
He was the youngest, the baby of the family, so he wasn't very strong, and we got quite a surprise when they took him into the army. But it happened that he had a typewriter, so they put him in an office, and he didn't have to do any very hard work. I don't say he didn't work, but I mean he wasn't sent to fight or anything like that very much. Mind you, I can't swear to it because I wasn't there, but he went up to New Guinea and he came back again and married. In fact, he married during the war and he had 5 children, but he died what we'd call fairly young because he wasn't far too strong.
How young?
He had his 5 children, came back from the war, and is back here. He went to work at the Hollywood Hospital after he came back from the war. But I think that New Guinea took a bit out of him. It was very hard temperature. The hot temperatures and things just about wore him out, you see. So I've got a couple of here. Photographs, because that's the 4 of us girls taken here in this room a while back, probably when I was 80 or something, because we had a little party here.
Which one's you?
This one. I've got a thick woolly pullover on.
Yeah. Look different.
Yes.
What about birthdays in the family?
Oh, well, we always remember each other's birthday, but we didn't go in for having parties. Not here in Subiaco. I remember having a party up in the Goldfields once, and the strange thing was the people who made sweets made little whistles. And if you give a party of children these whistles, and they all ran around blowing whistles, you can imagine the noise. And that's all I can remember about parties, because we just had quiet afternoon teas, you see, basically.
What did you used to do in the evenings for entertainment at home?
Oh, sometimes have a game of cards, you know, the kind of cards that children do. And sometimes just, in those days, girls used to sit down and crochet a great deal and do embroidery and make mats and things and fill up the bottom drawer. I made some, I don't know that this needs to go on the tape. I had some crochet work that I'd made on the petticoat. And one day I was setting off to go for work and I couldn't find the glasses anywhere. I put them down and I hunted everywhere. So I decided to go to work without them. So halfway up the street something hit my leg down here and my glasses were hanging in the crochet work on the bottom of a petticoat. So anyway, I managed to have the glasses at work, but still I wasn't looking forward to it.
So do you think, or do you see that there have been lots of changes in your lifestyle and life since those days?
Oh yes, a great deal. Well, I mean, in the early days we didn't have all the mod cons. All these electrical things that they make these days were never heard of then. Everything you had to do was made by hand. In the tea rooms, if we made toast for supper to serve, we had to stand in front of a hot fire with a toast fork and make it. And if we wanted to put ice in the cold drinks, we had ice picks and we had to break off the ice ourselves and handle it, you know, it was cold. Some of the girls had their health spoiled a bit with handling the cold ice.
What other changes can you see about you?
Well, of course, recently all this building has been going on, and all the old houses that were have been pulled down. This row of houses were all wooden houses in the beginning, and they've all been pulled down, or at least nearly all, not all. If you go up there, one or two left. But and then, of course, the post office was moved from where it was, and the town hall was down there in Hay Street, that where Time Rails was, but of course that's moved up, really up to the gardens now, isn't it? The whole big hall up there.
How do you feel about all the buildings being pulled down, and your house being pulled down, and something else put in its place?
The houses they build nowadays are a little bit too economical. I don't mean in cash, I mean in breathing room. And that sort of thing. Since I've come down here, I have realised how much room and daylight I had up there in the house. When I came down here, it was nearly pitch dark. I had this put in so that I can see. You see the light here, that it was dark, you see, when I came down here. And a good many of the houses haven't got those little ceiling ventilators that they used to have in. And lots of things like that. Although they're better looking. The old wooden houses were very vulnerable. They could be burnt down in two ups, and the white ants crawled in, and so on. But they lasted a fair long time. When you hear of people having nowhere to live these days, I just wonder why they don't put up a few more cheaper houses and let them until they can buy better ones. Because it's very hard. When I read of people living in the streets and sleeping under outdoors and all sorts of silly things like that, it seems foolish, doesn't it? We've got plenty of space here. But of course, mind you, when you build a town, you have to allow for roads and the electrical wires and all that sort of thing have to be allowed for. That's one reason why they build so many all in a clump, I suppose, so to save the expense.
What made you move from your house in Raphael Street and come here?
Well, for a long time it was beginning to look a bit drab, and also it was right on the side lane, and it always had dried grass every season right up against the wall, and anybody walking past that lane could throw down a cigarette. We always had to spend time cleaning all the grass away from there, and it was old. I had had the white ant men in twice, and there were other little places that where the white ants had been, somebody told me, and also the main reason was the builders came along and offered me enough money to buy something else. Mm. You see, the first house would not buy anything all those years later on. The house itself, as a building, wouldn't have brought the same money to buy another house. You'd only put a deposit down, and then you'd be paying it off. And the older you get, the less you want to pay off. Mm.
So selling your house meant you could buy this one and not have to owe any money?
That's right.
So you're happy with the move?
Oh, well, more or less. Every so often I could do with an inch more of space in the bedroom. My bedroom suite wouldn't fit in it at all, and I had to do away with it and buy something else that would fit in.
So did you feel, or how did you feel when you saw your house that you'd lived in for so many years being demolished?
Oh, we didn't mind that. I mean, there are some things you missed and some things you there wasn't so much responsibility, and they were all made with iron roofs, but it had a habit of wearing out every so often.
What about your children? Did they feel a bit sad to see it go?
No, by this time I have only one daughter, And she had already moved, you see, and married and moved away, so it didn't worry her much. Actually, she's the grandmother of the newborn baby that we've just got.
The grandmother?
The grandmother, yes.
What have you thought about living in Subi all these years?
Oh, well, we liked it well enough because we live within a bus ride of town and King's Park and a few other places that you can visit without going long rides. And we have never had a car, so we couldn't go long trips. I mean, we haven't been long trips anyway. There are buses en route and things you can go on, but the older you get, the more you stay at home.
How did you feel about the trains? So how did you feel when the trains were stopped and then started again?
Well, look, sometimes we used to walk down to the station and go for a trip to Fremantle and or to Cottesloe Beach. But we didn't go enough for it to make a great deal of difference. And then when the buses went along there, we didn't really go then either. As you grow older, see, you get older and older and something happens to you and you don't, and you find it's a bit far to walk. Now, from up there, it was a fair walk down to the station, which made it, and you not only had to do that, but you have to walk back again. And when you go to Cottesloe, from the Cottesloe station down to Cottesloe, that was a fair walk too. If you're elderly and if your legs begin to wobble a bit.
This is Cottesloe Beach?
Yes. But the last time we went down and had a look at the sea, I went to that station this side of North Fremantle.
Leighton?
Leighton. See, that's right down on the beach. Well, it's not much to look at, but we could see the water and have a look around and come back again. But actually, lately, we haven't been out a great deal. When I moved down here, it was a bit late for me to pack up and throw away half your belongings and get orderly again. It takes a bit of stuffing out of you. If anybody wants any advice, they should move before they get to this age.
So it was fairly traumatic.
Yes, it is too. My daughter came and helped me, but as she said to somebody we know, Mum's brought down a lot of things that she could do without, but she'll have to find out for herself and get rid of them. Well, I haven't done it all yet. We were always sewing people, and I've got sewing cupboards and full of this, that and the other, and I haven't even made one new dress this season yet.
But so keeping it all.
Oh, yes, I might. I think I'll have to. As a matter of fact, I have cataracts nearly ready to be operated on. So I mightn't be doing a great deal more sewing.
Until the cataracts are operated on.
I made up my mind the other day that I would, and I got out of the pattern, and it took me all my time getting head and tail of it. Then I thought, that nice old table I had up in the old house was good for cutting out, and now I haven't got it. You know, this sort of thing, little odds and ends.
Well, I guess it takes a while to settle into a new house when you've been in the other one so long.
Yes, that's right. And you've come down and you find the windows and doors are in different places, and the furniture, if any, has to be put somewhere else, and so on and so forth, and then they decide. You decide to sell something because the place is too cluttered up and all this sort of thing.
So you had to get rid of a lot of things when you came here?
Yes, I got rid of quite a number. And of course, this small table, if I had visitors, I have to pull it out and then there's hardly room to walk around. And that sort of thing. I had a whole spare room up there filled with one spare bed, and lots of wardrobes and cupboards and things. My daughter cleared up three whole bags of my patches and things that I had that might come in handy someday. And I thought to myself, I wonder what's in those. And I thought, well, if I dare to look at them, I'll be taking some of them back again. So I put them all out, without looking inside.
I guess it can be very upsetting, though, something like that.
Yes. Well, of course, during that time, I did go to CWA, too, for some years, and that took me out of the house. I haven't been lately. My eyes began to fade a bit. No. So I didn't keep on with it. I should have done it in one way.
What were you doing with CWA?
Well, they have meetings which last about 3 to 4 hours, in between which you usually have a cup of tea for lunch. And they discuss topics of the day, or, and when you have meetings like that, they have a president, a treasurer, and a secretary. And of course, a lot of the time is taken up going through the last meeting. The secretary has to read the minutes of the last meeting, and the president has to say a few words and here and there in between miles. And the treasurer has to read out all the treasury notes, and you discuss any correspondence that comes in, and have a few remarks about overseas correspondence or anything you've got like that. By that time it's afternoon tea time or lunchtime, and you find that you can carry on like that, and the people in the country usually have different affairs when they have a sheep sale or some other sale. They'll go along and cater for it and that kind of thing. In between whiles, if you have any complaints to make about manufacturing or education or country, the taking the children to school there and back, or temperature and all that sort of thing, you write to the headquarters, write to necessary departments and get a reply, and all these things come back. And at the end, you wonder what you've done. Except that the people in the office know what they've done, because I have to do it.
So did you used to enjoy these meetings?
Oh yes, quite well. One day I was sitting there, and I was nominated to take the secretary's job. Usually each year they have new people elected, but they can elect the same one 3 times running, but after that she has to, you know, make that way for somebody else. But I'd never done anything like that in my life, and I was pretty ancient. And I thought, well, I thought to myself, now I've watched this other secretary, I think I can do it. So I took the job, and I did my 3 years. I also did 3 years as the president. Not that I was a brilliant speaker, but if you go wrong, there's always somebody to put you right. Somebody who knows better than you do, you know, stand up and say what's right and what's wrong. And they have, every 3 years they have a big conference. So it takes up quite a bit of time, and you go there and you speak to people and get to know a few people.
Now, we've just about come to the end of the tape, so looking back on your life, is there anything you'd like to have changed?
Oh yes, just about all of it. I was born rather shy. It's a silly word, but I call it being a bit introvert, don't they? To make it sound a bit better. But you don't make friends so easily, and you don't mix so much, and you don't push yourself forward. And I have rather missed that.
Are you still shy?
Well, to a certain extent. When I took this job as secretary, I had to wake up a bit, because I had to open my mouth and make care so that everybody could hear me. And every 6 months or every 12 months we had a larger meeting, a half-yearly meeting, where all the secretaries lined up one behind the other, to go in front of the mic and read their annual reports, and I had to do that. But I can remember having nerves so much that I took three tablets to kind of tone me down before I could stand up there in front of this silly microphone.
But you did it?
Oh, yes.
Very impressive. So your message to anybody listening to this tape would be, try to overcome your shyness.
I hope they don't have... I hope you don't put it on telly or anything.
No.
Something like that. Oh, yes. Well, it does to people good to go to clubs and things. Although I haven't been to many in Subiaco. See, they have the senior citizens, and I haven't been up there.
Why is that?
Well, we didn't need to go up for dinner. While I was cooking, I was cooking. And when I got too bad to cook, they brought the meals down here. But we don't eat large meals. There's no need for us to totter up there. I wonder sometimes whether the people who go up are sick or well. You see, they have to get themselves there.
I think people sometimes use the centres just for the social contact.
Oh, well, they do. See, I know they have indoor bowls and things like that, but I've never been up there after that either. And now, if you will notice, I've come down to the bottom of that hill, and every the senior citizens is at the top of that hill, just around the corner up there. Well, I have to drag the weary old bones up there if I go to the library, if I don't know anything else.
So do you go to the library?
Yes, I go to the library. But I've... books are very heavy. I drag I have to take my, you know, trolley up there to get those.
Well, just before we finish, you've obviously seen lots of changes in Subiaco.
Yes, probably have.
Thinking about it, do you think they're for the better or for the good or bad of Subiaco?
Oh, well, I think they are. There are very few people who can live within a stone's throw of all the conveniences, because it isn't possible, is it? See, they have large hospitals in the metropolitan area. Now, if anybody is sent there and they have to go there weekly or monthly, they have to go quite a distance sometimes. There's the children's hospital over there. People have to come miles sometimes to go to the children's hospital. I mean, they haven't got them all dotted. They've got all the equipment there, we know that. But everybody can't live next door to all the things they want. So that's why sometimes I don't go up to the senior citizens, because I have to tote myself up there. And my three sisters usually come down today. I've got one coming for lunch. On Friday they come down and have afternoon tea with me.
So you're a fairly close-knit family?
Yes. Well, the one who lived in the country previously decided, when she was told not to live alone, she decided to come and live up in Subiaco to be with us. That's Mrs. Broom. You've met her, haven't you? Mm-hmm. She's living with Mrs. Day. So we live fairly close together.
Do you think families are fairly important?
Well, I think so, in some respects. Some people are always parting and going miles away. Young men, for instance, are always anxious to go off somewhere, like running off to sea or up to the gold find or somewhere. But they go. But of course, the larger the place grows, the further out they have to go to find their houses and homes.
Do you think that affects the relationship with the rest of the family?
Well, it does to a certain extent, because some of them we don't see very often. Now, the young people growing up, nearly all can manage a car in the family, but we haven't, you see. We've always been fairly hard up. We haven't run to cars, but the ones who have are further out.
Is that why you haven't had a car? Because you haven't been able to afford?
Oh, yes, probably. And the girls growing up, the ones who took on nursing and stayed at it long enough, they've all bought themselves a car. They get better wages than they did in our own day.
Mm. Well, that's certainly a big change, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I can remember some... I remember working with one girl who deliberately said she couldn't possibly live on the money she had. And she said she found some of the other girls couldn't and didn't try to. And upset about that. Yeah, but these days I can live on it, you see. Although I'm very sorry about all these kids who haven't got jobs, I think that's about the worst thing that can happen to a country, when the school leavers can't find jobs, because they lose their sense of discipline when they hang around not doing any work. Not really. Some of them do try and they get odd jobs here and there, but it's one of the worst things that can happen to us, I think.
Finish the tape.
Yes.
Anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, not much. I do realise that a personal life is not the same as talking about Subiaco, for instance, because I didn't mix very much in Subiaco when I was young and not since I was older either. So there isn't a great deal to say about it, except you do see all the buildings being pulled down, something else put in their place. And of course, in Subiaco, the costs of our housing is much more than out in the country. I see in the newspapers all the low, what seems to be low prices in houses, and the number of bedrooms and place for a swimming pool and carports and all sorts of things that are much cheaper than I paid for this. Not that I ever paid for it. The builders did everything, and the agents, so I didn't see any money at all, practically.
Did you come out with any money left over, or
about $1,000. It wasn't what you... We came down to get away from the old house, which was... It was an elderly building, there's no doubt about that. And of course, there was some garden, but we get... beyond looking after gardens too when you get to a certain age. I often used to think, if somebody burnt our house down, the whole row would go up like matchwood, because they were all wooden houses in the row. So that's one reason that you come down here. But we have to pay maintenance. Of course. So we're not much better off financially, you know.
But you're more comfortable?
Yes, well, we don't have to climb up on the roof and mend it. I have been up on the roof down the other way.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, I don't know whether I'm much good to you. Would you like a cup?